Real estate works for you today as well as in the future. It's not just save everything and not spend a dime of it today and just wait until the future, because with real estate, you're generating spendable cash flow for today. And you've got dollars working for you in the form of appreciation and tax benefits and so on that you get to take advantage of in the future, right?
What would your life look like if you could replace all of your working income with simple and conservative investments that could do it for you?
Over the last 13 years, we've helped thousands of clients transact over $500 million in simple and conservative real estate transactions, allowing them to begin replacing their work income with real estate investment income.
Each week, we'll be pulling back the curtain on the ins and outs of real-time, retirement-based real estate transactions that will transform your financial future, even if you have no real estate experience. This is Replace Your Income with me, Kevin Clayson.
And Steve Earle.
All right. Well, Steve, we're back. Episode 2. How you feeling, buddy?
Sweet. Feeling pretty good here.
Yeah. So thank you to everybody that tuned into episode 1. And if you didn't tune into episode 1, get back there and go listen to episode 1. Because Steve and I talk a little bit about our backstory and how we got to this point. But we are so excited that you're here. And today we wanted to talk a little bit about this thing that, I don't know, for a lot of Americans is kind of like the bane of their existence. And I know for you and I, Steve, it's something we talk about all the time because of what we do with our clients and so many folks that we get a chance to interact with. This word is kind of a big deal around this office and something we talk about a lot. It's a little word called retirement. Steve, have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah, once or twice.
Good. Yeah. So we do talk a little bit about retirement because you know what? It seems like everybody, that's kind of, it's on their mind, right? Even if it's not on their mind, it's on their mind. Like sometimes we kind of go, I know I'm going to retire one day. I don't know what that looks like, but I just, you know, when it comes, I'll deal with it. So, you know, we wanted to talk about this idea of traditional retirement. Now, traditional retirement for me is defined as what most people do as they prepare for retirement, how they're putting money away, how they're saving money. And here's what I want everybody to know. Today on the episode, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the statistics and some of the situation facing Americans that proves that retirement is in trouble or it's broken. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some stories of how to combat that and give you some really specific steps. Then at the end of the episode, we're going to give you a link. And that link is a really quick 60-second retirement assessment that will allow you to go in and fill it out. And in less than 60 seconds, you'll know if you're on track to retire. And so that's going to be it. So stay tuned to the end of the episode. We're going to give out that link. And so to kind of talk a little bit about traditional retirement, Steve, how do you, when we talk about traditional retirement, I know what's in my mind, but what does it mean? I'm just curious, like what's your perspective on traditional retirement?
I still remember when I was much younger. I'm 51 now, but I remember when I was in my early 20s and I was thinking about retirement back then. And I actually sat down. I was, like I mentioned in the last episode, I used to have my whole life planned out, like when I was 12 years old, right? So I always think about the future. And so when I got into my early 20s and I got married and I started, you know, having a family, that was definitely on my mind. And the way I thought of retirement was, you know, setting aside a certain percentage of my income every single month and putting it into like a 401k or an IRA, or into some type of, you know, traditional stock market type of an account, and to, you know, to watch. And then over time, you know, just hopefully watch that grow and so on. And I became kind of disillusioned fairly quickly as I saw the ups and downs of the market. And as I read
The market goes up and down, like the stock market. Are you sure?
It's
have you seen
weird.
That before?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
And so I started to kind of lose faith in the system as I talked to, you know, people who were 20, 30 years older than me to learn that it wasn't like working for them. And I was seeing what it was doing for me. And so I started to look for, you know, different ways to figure out what I could do to plan for, you know, my retirement eventually. And sometimes it's really hard to look that far in the future, right? And it just doesn't even seem like real, right? When you're
half
that young.
The time, I don't know how to look past lunch because I don't know what I'm having, right?
Exactly. So. Exactly. It's like, and that's the thing is that it's so hard to to look that far into the future and to be thinking that I'm going to squirrel away these pennies today that hopefully will, you know, benefit me down the road, and to then look at people who have been doing that for literally decades and to talk to them and to have them tell me that it didn't work for them.
Well, you know, I think so. I've never been a huge fan of traditional retirement. I don't know if my sanity would hold up if I had been spending 20 years to build up my nest egg in my 401k, and then there's a market wipeout, right? And like I lose half overnight. Like, I don't know how I deal with that, but I know it's something that a lot of Americans are dealing with. And this is kind of my interpretation of traditional retirement. So I feel like what we're kind of taught to do, it's not like it's explicitly stated in schools. It's just kind of like it's kind of just what runs throughout society is this is how you retire. And it's you build a nest egg, right? You work hard, you put money away in a 401k or an IRA, you utilize the timing of the stock market over time. That money should be enough that you could then live off of it for the rest of your life, maybe combined with Social Security or whatever. And the way that I look at it, I go, you know what? Okay, hold on. So if somebody takes an average of 30 years to prepare for retirement, if they're putting money away the whole time, what if I wanted to build my dream home, right? Like, what if I built my own dream home board by board, brick by brick, nail by nail? Now, I'm not capable of that because I can barely open a ladder when it comes to home renovations, okay? But let's assume that I was going to do that. Imagine if I spent 30 years building my dream home board by board, brick by brick, it's perfect. Would at that time, at 30 years when it's completed, then imagine I start to pull it apart board by board, brick by brick, nail by nail. Nobody in their right mind would do that, yet it's exactly what we do and what we're taught to do when we look at traditional retirement. Build a nest egg, then deplete it to death.
Well, like, think about this, Kevin. Think about those individuals who were so excited. At the beginning of 2020, they were saying to themselves that they had a retirement party in January of 2020, and they had saved all this money, is in the stock market, and the timing was perfect because over the last couple of years, the stock market has gone nuts. And they're like, yahoo, I am ready to retire today. Yes. And then literally, they didn't start pulling it apart bit by brick, but this little thing called COVID-19, like literally blew it up.
Yeah.
The tornado. Value
yeah.
went from, it dropped by 35%, Kevin, that dream. So part of retirement is this whole thing called timing. And the fact that the market goes up and it goes down, if you don't time things just right, when you begin spending that money and you begin living on it, and then all of a sudden, bam, of no fault of your own, the market completely drops, the bottom drops out. And even if it's only for a few years, well, guess what? Your retirement just unretired.
That's a good way to put it. So I was thinking about like, what is it that most Americans are facing? You just described it. And so I went and I found some statistics. So there's a guy named Chris Hogan. He works with Dave Ramsey. So some of you out there may be big Dave Ramsey fans. I know a lot of people that are like, I can't stand Dave. Whether you like him or you don't, he's got some good stuff to say. I don't agree with everything. But this guy, Chris Hogan, does a lot of speaking for Dave Ramsey, does a lot of research, and he recently put together something that was like 10 frightening retirement stats that should scare you into action. Now, full disclosure, I know that Chris Hogan and Dave Ramsey are well-researched, and I know they have sources. They didn't list the sources, but I also know from your and my experience, Steve, and what we see every day, I know that these are accurate, right? So, and by the way, they say that these came from a retirement study that Ramsey Solutions had commissioned. So I guess it was their own research. So it's not like MSNBC, but here's kind of some of the frightening statistics, okay? Here's number one. Only 58% of Americans are actively saving for retirement. Okay, that means that 40% are not actively saving, all right? Here's another one. 48%, so almost 50% of Americans have less than $10,000 saved for retirement. That ain't gonna cut it, Steve. That's not gonna get you where you need to get. Here's another one. More than 50% of baby boomers say all or most of their retirement income will come from Social Security. Oh, awesome. So we'll just rely on a government program that has unlimited funding. There's never a problem for that, right? That should be totally good. Couple more. One in 10 are saving 15% or more towards retirement. That is not a huge percentage. doesn't mean that there's not people saving 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%, but only 1 in 10 are saving at least 15%, which is kind of the sort of accepted standard of what you need to do in order to have enough to retire.
And based on what Mike, you know, our in-house financial guy stated, that is the typical plan in order to make this work. 15% is kind of the minimum.
Yep, that's right. So, and then here's another one. This is just kind of interesting. Close to 60% of Americans report losing sleep thinking about retirement. A little bit later in the episode, we're going to have Mike, our customer appreciation manager, come on, and he's going to share a story about a guy who kind of said something really similar. One of our clients who kind of said, I used to be super afraid of retirement, but now not so much. And we'll kind of talk about why that is later.
Well, Kevin, between losing sleep over, you know, retirement type issues, and then losing sleep because your children are waking up in the middle of the night and keeping you awake.
Yes.
I mean, that is why we should all invest all of our money into Rockstar or Red Bull or whatever.
Yep.
Because we are
maybe
all
one
keeping
of them,
them
sponsor
in
the show.
Yeah. Exactly. Because none of us are getting any sleep based on those two things.
It's so true. So here's the deal, you guys. Look, we know you know that traditional retirement's kind of broken. I've done a little bit of research, so I'm not well-researched. I can't go write a book on it, but sometimes I like to look at storylines, like human storylines, and put together a narrative that makes sense to me. And so what I'm about to share with you, I'm not going to claim as gospel truth, but if we look at what's actually happened as America has sort of evolved, where did this idea of retirement come from? Steve, you probably know. Do you know what the very first ever retirement plan was? You know what it used to be? Founding of the country, around that time? It's this thing, it's like two words long, it's called real estate. So what would happen is so often, this country was built on the backs of laborers, farmers, agriculture. There used to be people that would get land.
You mean something like real?
Yeah.
Estate.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So an estate as in something that you own, but and it's actually real?
It's actually
tangible. Is that what you're talking about?
I think that's it. Wow. Look what you did there. Words are fun. So really though, you think about, do research on families in the 1800s. The idea was to own land and to work the land. And the idea was you'd work the land and teach your kids to work the land. Then when you were too old to work the land, your kids could work the land and help support you. That was the original idea of retirement. And it was based on this concept of really being accountable and being self-sustaining and having the ability to control your future. You know, most people nowadays, there's two things they can't control. They can't control how much they're going to have when it comes to retirement. For most people, there's ways to do that. And most people can't really control when they want to retire, because a lot of people have to keep working because traditional retirement is kind of broken. Well, when you used to have land and a farm, I mean, you work until you're tired, until your knees hurt, your back hurts, and then the kids work. That was the original retirement plan.
Well, and Kevin, if I could just add to that, here's the concept, right? You didn't take that land that you owned and spend it or sell it off bit by bit. It was income producing real estate, producing land. And what needs to happen with retirement is your income can't retire.
Correct.
Your income has to keep going.
Yes.
And as you relate that back, it just gets my mind thinking in terms of the original plan as you kind of are describing it. It just makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you think about, I'm going to retire for the day. I'm tired. I'm going to retire, right? People would retire on their land and on their estate because somebody could help them. That went away. So when did it start to go away? So this is the part where I'm gonna create my own historical narrative, but it kind of makes sense, right? So if you look at when people started to kind of leave the farm, it was kind of like industrial revolution, right? So what would happen is you had all these farmers, but we've got this industrial revolution. We need workers in factories. And so what companies would do is they would go and they would incentivize. They'd go incentivize you to come off the farm and come work for them. They're going to guarantee benefits. Maybe they guarantee a retirement, a pension, that thing that existed for a while, right? Come work for us. That's the idea. That's where the idea of benefits was born, right? Come work for us. There's benefits to work for us instead of just staying on the farm. So you started to get people moving away from the farm, moving into cities, moving into factories. Now, that was all fine and good. And that's generally kind of what happened, right? You had people, Industrial Revolution, they're moving into factories. You have world wars. You got maybe even more people leaving the farms to go and contribute to a cause of America. And all of a sudden, over time, we see this cultural shift of people, instead of being, sort of self-reliant, they become reliant on employers. Instead of owning real estate, they own dollars that they think will support the realness of their future retirement. And then we get to the 70s, and then Congress, because they're always smarter than us, they decide that there's going to be this thing. There's this guy named Ted Benna. He comes up. He kind of discovers this piece of the tax code, 401k, which was ultimately initially was designed to be a benefit for employers, right? So it was the idea that if you contributed to your employees' retirement account, you could get some additional tax benefits as an employer. And somehow that evolved into all the employers are doing this. So somehow everybody starts to think, well, all the employers are doing this 401k thing. That must be the way you retire, because most of the time retirement is not taught. Retirement is learned by experience. That's what we see across America, which is why the statistics are so bad, because it's not like there's a retirement class, right? It's like you get your econ class or whatever. But so over time, this learned behavior in Americans, it's like, okay, if I get a pension, cool. But then pensions started to go away, right? Because it was bankrupting companies. So then it was this reliance on the 401k. That's what everybody's doing. And as a result, then, oh, by the way, so now everybody's got money in a 401k. We're in the 80s. There's these massive stock market run-ups, and everybody starts to go, well, this is the way to do it. I mean, man, your employer puts some money in, you put some money in, it goes in there without paying taxes, it grows over time. This is awesome. And that's sort of been the approach that Americans have been taking for decades and decades. And then here we are in 2020, and we're looking at the statistics, and we know darn well that statistically and just in general, what people are experiencing, traditional retirement is largely broken. People aren't finding ways to have their income keep working for them. Like you said, your income can't retire even if you do. But people are looking at this thing going, I got to rely on Social Security. I got to rely on family and friends. Hopefully there's enough money in the stock market. Guys, end of the day, we know, and the stats have proven it, we know I don't think it's indisputable at this point. Traditional retirement is broken. So the question is, well, what do we do to fix it? So Steve, you already kind of alluded to it, right? We kind of like this little thing called real estate. It's this real tangible thing that really makes a difference for real people when it comes to their actual real retirement. So we like real estate for that. And you've heard Steve talk about his real estate experience. Let me tell you one that's near and dear to my heart, what I think is part of the solution to traditional retirement, which is this. It is my dad, my mom. Here's what they did. So mom and dad, and you know this, Steve. So my mom and dad, they bought their home in like the 60s in California, okay, in the Bay Area. And dad, I talked a little bit about this last episode. Dad was a sales guy. He worked a lot of jobs. He didn't really have like a pension. There wasn't always a lot extra. My dad was an incredibly hard worker and great provider, but there wasn't always a lot extra to put into a 401k or IRA. There wasn't a pension. So kind of relying on Social Security. My mom has a small retirement pension from, she worked for the school district for decades, but so they're making it, right? They own their home free and clear, and they buy this home in the 60s. They pay it off over time. They only ever had like one mortgage on it, right? And so recently, here we are in 2020, I said to them, guys, you're still living in California. California's fallen off the cliff. If you live in California, I love you. We love California, but also sorry. But so I said, mom and dad, look, you're getting older. My dad's 82. I'm not going to say my mom's age because she'd kill me, but she's older than 20. And so they're squarely in retirement. And I said, you guys, all your kids and grandkids live here in Utah. That's where we live. We live in Utah. You guys are in California. You're out there by yourselves. I'm worried about you. I'm worried about your health. I'm worried about your age. I'm worried about your retirement. I want to make sure you guys are good. And so I finally convinced them to move back here to Utah. We got him a beautiful place in a 55 plus community where everything's taken care of for him. They have a brand new home, and they sold their home in California that they bought for between $30,000 and $40,000. And they sold that puppy for well over $700,000. They have plenty of money to rely on for retirement. And you know what did it? One singular real estate investment slash purchase. So here we have somebody in their 80s who's finally able to experience some retirement because of real estate, which is awesome. Now, is that the only way to go? We're actually going to have somebody come in just a second. We have our client appreciation team manager, Mike Chamberlain, who has this really unique perspective on retirement. And I want him to tell a story about his mother-in-law and also about one of our clients named Ron Diviak, because regardless of where you're at, real estate has the ability to put you on track or make up some deficits or get you to the point of retirement without relying on traditional retirement.
Yeah, Kevin, I mean, like you say, at the end of the day, retirement is what it is. Whether you start thinking about it when you're in your 20s, whether you really start thinking about it and planning for it in your 50s, or whether you're in your 80s like your parents, real estate can make all the difference in the world. In your parents' case, one single property has given them the ability and the opportunity to retire very comfortably. The story that Mike's going to share with us about Ron Diviak, he got started kind of in midlife, 50s, late 50s, middle 50s, right around there, changed his life completely in the course of 10 years, changed what the future of his legacy will be to his family. And I kind of want to share the story of somebody younger, somebody who started the process a little bit earlier on in life, and where they discovered the power of real estate and what it can do for them now and in the future, because real estate works for you today as well as in the future. It's not just save everything and not spend a dime of it today and just wait until the future, because with real estate, you're generating spendable cash flow for today. And you've got dollars working for you in the form of appreciation and tax benefits and so on that you get to take advantage of in the future, right? And we have an opportunity as individuals to teach these types of concepts and principles to the up-and-coming generation, and specifically and most intimately to our own children. And so my own son got started in real estate investing when he was about 20 years old. And so I wanted to have him share his story in his own words. He happens to be in town for a couple of weeks prior to starting a new job out in New York at the end of summer. And so I've invited Dallin to come and tell us kind of his story, what he's experienced, so you can see the perspective of a young person. He got started when he was 20. Like I say, he's now, I think, 28 or 29. I should know the age of my own child.
That might be a good idea. Yeah.
But we're going to have Dallin kind of share his story now.
Okay, so let's do this. Actually, let's do this. I'm going to go get Mike. Let's have Mike come in. I want Mike to talk because he's got a really unique perspective on retirement. So I'm going to have Mike talk a little bit about that. And I want him to also tell a story about his mother-in-law and Ron. And then after Mike, you said Dallin can come by?
Yep, we'll have Dallin come in.
Awesome. Okay, let's have Dallin come in and let's just keep exploring this idea of how real estate can help to kind of break the shackles of traditional retirement so it can actually create some real freedom for you. Okay, awesome. So, you know, we thought it'd be really cool to have our customer appreciation team manager come in. And this is a guy who I have grown to really love and respect. His name is Mike Chamberlain. What's up, Mike? How you doing over
hey,
there, buddy?
Kevin, happy to be here.
Good. And I got to tell you, Mike has a wonderful haircut. Looks like mine, except I have male pattern baldness. He doesn't. He just shaves
it's by
his.
Choice.
Yeah. I wish mine was by choice. But so, Mike, I just love your background, and we thought it'd be awesome to have you on the episode because your experience is so it's so relevant to everything we're talking, that Steve and I are talking about. So you actually have a pretty interesting background in traditional retirement because you worked for a big sort of financial planning or retirement firm. So talk a little bit about your experience with traditional retirement.
Yeah, so I first became a licensed advisor about 15 years ago. It was when my parents were retiring and I saw the help they were trying to get from another professional to make sense of what their future might look like and how poor service and poor perspective really messed with their lives. They weren't as comfortable with their future as I wish they were. I wanted to go right off into the sunset and enjoy it. So I got into the business. I'd always liked investing. I'd done it, dabbled it on the side myself as well. Became an advisor with Edward Jones, worked for Edward Jones and Fidelity Investments for most of the last 15 years.
How is Edward Jones? Is he a nice guy?
Yeah. He's like a fantastic company.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great, fantastic company. He died decades ago. That reminds me when I went to see Rachmaninoff with my wife at the symphony. She went in intermission and asked the usher, you know, my husband really enjoys Rachmaninoff. Do you know when he'll be coming back? And the usher just looked at her and said, oh, honey, he's been dead for 50 years.
I love it.
So Kevin, he's been dead for 50 years probably or something like that.
That's awesome.
But Jones is a great company. But yeah, great company, lots of great experience working face-to-face with clients, hundreds of clients, making sense of traditional investments. So my background as a licensed advisor is working with stocks and bonds and insurance products, helping them have the best chance possible to, I always describe my job as helping them live their best life as possible, you know, with the resources they had, making sense of it, and trying to be in the best position to know what the future would look like and just enjoy life a little bit more along the way. So previously did that with traditional investments. Love what real estate does for people, you know, multiples of potential peace of mind and actual returns, you know, 2-3 times the kind of returns versus what most people are doing for retirement that they can do with traditional investments, real estate investments like we have here.
So I'm going to put you on the hot seat just real quick, because there's a couple things that I thought you ought to share. I want you to share a couple stories because it's just, like I said, your expertise is so relevant to this topic. Steve and I have been spending the last, I don't know how many minutes, talking about how traditional retirement is broken. So I'm going to put you on the hot seat.
Sure.
From your perspective, and I don't think there's a wrong answer here, but from your perspective, is traditional retirement broken, or is it that traditional retirement isn't broken, but the way people are interacting with their funds, that's broken, and so it has this ripple effect? But I'm just kind of curious what your. I mean, I've heard you talk a lot about it. We've done events together, but I think your perspective is so unique. So what would be your answer to that question? Is traditional retirement broken? And maybe if it is, how is it broken, or is it us that's broken? Just kind of what's your perspective?
I'd say it's not working and it's unknown. I mean, if people get started early and they sock away 15% of their income for decades and they have it going to work for them in smart ways, it can work out. But that's just not the reality. That's not what people are doing.
Well, we started the show with some statistics, and what was it? I got to look it up again now. It was like only 10% of Americans are saving 15% of more of their monthly income towards retirement. So you just said if they're saving 15%, but we have only 10% of Americans, period. That means 90% of us, according to the definition that you just kind of shared, are super not on track.
That's right. Yeah, the traditional method out there, what most people are trying to do is you work for decades, 3-4 decades, you squirrel away your pennies, you save for a rainy day, you save for the future, and you build this pile of money that you stop adding to and you start subtracting from as you transition to retirement. And the hope is that pile of money doesn't run out before the living runs out.
Right.
That's what almost everybody's doing out there.
Yeah.
That's what the traditional model is. And the things that are going to be the biggest factor or issues in that working out for somebody is how long people are living now, the longevity. We just live longer now.
Yeah.
You're in retirement longer now. The average,
because everybody eats gluten-free and vegan.
That,
and so apparently
that
makes a difference. I don't know.
No, the average retired couple now, though, they're going to have about 2.5 decades in retirement. One of the two of them are going to live to be 92 are the numbers. And so if you retire at 65 and you go to 92, 2-3 decades of this pile of money needing to last. And
that's
the biggest barrier to that lasting, when you live longer, cost of living goes up over time. And maybe you need an extra $1,000 a month to pay your bills as you go into retirement. But a couple of decades into it, you now need $2,000 a month because of inflation. And that's just taking out bigger chunks of money, most likely blowing up that plan so it doesn't work out. And of course, you're not traveling the world and doing other things
right.
2-3 decades into the world like you were as you ride off into the sunset.
Sure.
But you do have health expenses. You do have lots of other expenses that come up at that stage in life that you got to be prepared for. So yeah, the traditional model is hope that it doesn't run out. Real estate turns out on the dime. It's literally building this estate that you have appreciation that's going to keep happening behind the scenes. You have the rents that are going to be going up traditionally just beyond inflation. Inflation's averaged 2-3% a year. The rental increase has been around 2-3% or more a year. And so it just simply changes that model from a pile that shrinks to a pile that expands
and
combats inflation, which is one of the biggest things that blow up a traditional retirement plan.
So I kind of talked about my dad's story. You know my dad's story. Yep. And now your mother-in-law has kind of another cool story when it comes to real estate kind of being a bit of the cure to sort of fixing some of the traditional retirement stuff. So what, I don't know your mother-in-law's story. So tell me, I've heard you mention it, but I don't know the details.
Yeah, I love it because it shows the power of real estate with time. You know, real estate's been referred to as a get rich slow investment. That's very much, I think, our approach, conservative, give it time, it works, be focused on long-term, have a plan. What my mother-in-law did, my wife was born into a single parent, only child. Mom-in-law worked as a high school librarian for her career. Great job, influenced lots of people's lives, but not a big paying job and certainly didn't have a pile of money to help her transition to retirement. She had a good pension, which is unique today, but not a pile of money. But when my wife was born, they had this small little starter home that when they moved to be closer to my mother-in-law's work, they kept and then rented out for the next three decades. So just this one little small home that was owned over three decades' time, having the tenants pay off the mortgage for her.
An investment property.
An investment property, exactly. She kept one home as an investment property. Three decades later, as she transitioned to retirement, she sold that and literally had an extra $400,000 lump sum in her retirement account that she has used to literally travel the world, to support nonprofit causes she believes in passionately, to help pay for my kids, her grandkids, college education. I mean, it is leaving an impact, created a legacy.
It's huge.
Because of one single investment property.
So awesome.
Over time. It took time.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's dramatic,
yeah, it took time.
But it made a huge impact.
See, I love that so much because this is everything Steve and I are talking about on this podcast and why we're doing it. Because this idea of replacing your income or utilizing real estate can be such a game changer. And I know it was a game changer for one of our clients named Ron Diviak. Now, this is a really interesting guy. And I thought we ought to tell his story because, you know, we're talking about, look, what's the answer to sort of combating traditional retirement? We're saying, well, we really like real estate. My dad's story and mom and dad's story and hanging onto a home for a long time that they lived in. Your mother-in-law's story hanging onto an investment property. And we're those are both folks that are maybe kind of definitely in their twilight years. But then what if I'm in the middle, like I'm in my 40s, I'm in my 50s, I'm approaching 60 or whatever, and I'm looking at it and I'm going, hey, what do I do? I don't really have, you know, what I hoped I would have as I look to retirement. Can real estate still impact me? And one of our clients named Ron Diviak, that's been the case for him. And it's been a huge piece of income replacement over the last, what, how many years?
He's been with us about 10 years now.
About 10. Yep. So tell Ron's story, because I know you've worked really closely with Ron. You have a great relationship with him, but I love his story. And, you know, he lives in Colorado now. He's in Colorado.
When he was first introduced to us, he lived in northern Indiana outside of Chicago there, and where he was an all-star, a Hall of Fame
basketball player, right?
Yep. And he went to pick up his son that has Down syndrome from a train ride. And when he got in the car, the two of them were driving home and they heard one of our commercials back 10 years ago. And Mike, his son, said, Dad, you should call. And he thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Let's just get home. But then Mike said again, Dad, you should call. Write down the number. And so while he was driving, he carefully wrote down the number, gave us a call. He heard what real estate could do. He thought at the time the home prices were expensive. This was actually after the Great Recession. And so home prices had started to take a drop, but he wasn't sure if it was a good price or not. But he knew the power of real estate. He'd always wanted to do real estate. And so he decided, I'm going to give it a try with one property. And if it works, then I'll do more. And so he started 10 years ago with one property. And now he literally has over 10 investment properties. He's essentially averaged one a year over the last 10 years. He had a little bit of retirement assets that he used to start this process. He's expanded it with the appreciation and the growth that he's experienced with real estate. And he got into it because he wanted to have some kind of an estate, a legacy that he could leave for his kids so that his family would be taken care of. And so now he's since moved to outside of Boulder, Colorado, a beautiful community, which he said he couldn't afford to live in if it wasn't for his real estate, cash flow, passive income. He enjoys the lifestyle there. He's around more family now. And I asked him what impact real estate's had on his life. And he said, before, when he used to think about retirement, he'd have nightmares, and now he doesn't. And I love that image of, you know, the unknown, you know, is this pile of money going to last, is taken away. That nightmare, that fear can be overcome with real estate that grows in value, that is doesn't take over your life. It doesn't become a second job or a full-time effort for you. It's very much a passive approach that we help people do. And just having that extra confidence to get started. That's been one of my favorite quotes from another client that I do annual reviews with our clients to give them some perspective on how their homes are doing, to get their feedback, to hear any frustrations. You know, we're here to help make sure the experience is better for them along the way for years to come. And another favorite quote I heard from a client was that I never would have dared do real estate without your help. And now that I've done it with your help, it's made all the difference in being able to help support my kids, my adult children, to help make a better lifestyle for my wife and I. It's just that holding the hands or helping them dare to do it has had a dramatic impact, you know, years down the road for them.
That's awesome. Mike, thanks for coming on. I know it was really hard to get over here to the studio, AKA my office. Your office is very far away. I think I have to take at least 20 to 22 steps.
Spitting distance, they call it.
Office. That's right. No, thanks for coming in. You're the best, Mike. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks.
Okay, so this is pretty cool. We have a really special guest in the studio. I'm going to refer to, we're in my office, but we're going to call it the studio because that sounds cooler, like more official. So now you guys have been hearing from Steve. Well, we now have Steve's son, Dallin, with us. Dallin, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going? Doing great.
So now here's the deal. I got to let you know, Dallin, I'm intimidated to talk to you because I've known you for a lot of years, but you have exceeded my intelligence level by about a billion because you just graduated from Harvard Law School, yep. Right? And you are going to go... you took a job with some awesome, massive law firm in Manhattan. So you're basically like a movie character, right? Like a guy in a John Grisham novel who's going to go crush it in the world and make a lot of money. But let's maybe without the drama that comes from a John Grisham
novel. Yeah, please. Okay. We can skip the
drama.
Yeah,
we'll skip that. Yeah. But Dallin is such an awesome guy. I mean, Dallin, it's been cool for me, you know, just kind of hanging out with your dad over these years to watch you grow and watch what you've been able to do with real estate and watch how it's funded everything from a mission you wanted to serve all the way through now, Harvard Law School, going on and being an attorney. You're getting a start in your quote-unquote real life that is so many steps ahead of most people because you've not relied on traditional retirement, but you're utilizing real estate. So you have this awesome story. You're an incredible guy. You're unbelievably intelligent. You're a great dad. You're just an amazing guy to have. So thank you for coming in. I don't know if your dad bribed you or not, but I'm really thankful that you're here. So I want everybody, you know, we've talked about like my dad who bought one home and you know, he waited and then that was able to make mom and dad money for retirement. We've talked about one of our clients who was, you know, kind of midlife and feeling like he was scared for retirement, but utilized simple and conservative real estate to put him on track to be able to have his income replaced. And you're kind of the other end of the spectrum where you started really young and now that is really starting to pay dividends. So tell us kind of what's the story of your real estate portfolio and how it's benefited you and how you've been utilizing it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. Hopefully I can live up to the hype that you've given to the audience here.
If you don't, I'm going to look dumb. So if you could, that'd be awesome.
Definitely. I will do my best. But yeah, it's been quite the ride and has been an incredible experience. At a young age, my dad's always been talking about real estate. He's always been involved buying houses, doing all of this, you know, starting DFY. And I decided to utilize that knowledge. Him and I put together a sort of game plan. And the first step in that plan was save up enough money for a down payment. And so that's what I did. I got a job in high school, worked, saved my money, and over time, eventually, shortly after I graduated, I was able to save up enough money to buy my first investment property through DFY down in Arizona. It was a great time to buy. It was 2011, so home prices were really low, which, you know, it made the down payment easier for me to attain. I obviously did things to build up my credit, like get credit cards as soon as I could, so I could qualify for loans and whatnot. And yeah, that property has really served me well. I bought that property, and shortly after that, left to serve on a mission. And the cash flow from that property funded my mission. So where most of my friends were going out and they, you know, had saved up a good chunk of money and then would spend that to kind of support themselves through the mission, I took that money, put it in the investment property, and the cash flow from the home paid for my expenses. And then when I came home, the property had increased in value. So not only did I have the down payment still sitting in the home, that down payment or that money I had invested in the home had grown. And so that was a really eye-opening experience, really a testament to the power of investing in real estate.
Real quick, what I love about that, so you just said something that's so critically important. Like, real estate's one of the few things where you can have multiple profit centers inside of one single investment. So here you've got this property. It's cash flowing and funding your mission. But then without you doing anything, it is growing and appreciating and adding to your net worth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like you were calling the property every week like, hey, property, are you working hard for me? It just did it, which is so awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was able to be away for 2 years, not even worry about it. I had awesome property managers that took care of things, and it worked out really great.
So you get this one property, it funds your mission, you come home, and now you're kind of starting, you know, the next phase of your life, you're going to be going to school, and your real estate was still playing a part. So talk a little bit about kind of what the next phase was with that first home and with your real estate portfolio.
Yeah, yeah. So I came back, got a job, and also started school, started school as an undergrad. And all that time, I kept onto this property, held on to it. And at one point, I decided to refinance it. It had grown in value significantly. I decided to refinance it because I had enough in there that I could pull that money out and use that to buy two more properties that I bought here in Utah. Some deals came up that I had an opportunity to jump on, and I was able to jump on it because I had all of this equity in this home in Arizona, but I wasn't ready to sell it. And so I decided just to refinance it, pulled that cash out, and bought those two more properties in Utah. And so then I had those two properties. I got married and bought a primary residence. And that primary residence, my wife and I decided that we wanted to have a kind of lower monthly payment. So we bought a house with a mother-in-law apartment. We lived in the basement and rented out the upstairs. And we're essentially living on about, it was like $350 a month rent, because our renter upstairs was paying for the rest of the mortgage.
So if I'm keeping track, you're up to four properties, one investment that had enough equity, you could refi it out, go buy two more in Utah. And then you bought another one that's your primary residence, and you're renting part of it out so that you're not even basically making that home mortgage payment, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, we did that, and it was awesome. The cash flow kind of helped with the expenses. It helped with the maintenance and repair expenses, as well as just living as a college student going through my undergrad. It just kind of helped with those expenses. And so then had all those four properties, graduated from undergrad, and then went off to law school. And all the while,
Harvard Law School. Don't just gloss over who went to law school. It's not like you went to, like, you know, some night law school that where, you know, they take anybody. Like, you're at Harvard, dude. Like, that's got to be unbelievably expensive, right? Like, I'm pretty sure they don't offer law degrees for free.
No, they happen to not offer law degrees, and Harvard doesn't even offer scholarships. So it's crazy expensive.
Because it's Harvard, and you are just lucky to be there. By the way, I fully anticipated, now that you've graduated Harvard, I thought you'd come in with like a sweater, like tied around your neck, like with a tennis racket, and you were going to talk about your yacht. But I guess not. So anyway, so it's good to see you're still you, Alan. It's really good.
Thanks.
So, okay. So now you're in college. You still have four properties, right?
Yep.
So you've got four properties that are helping to fund your life.
Yeah, we turned our primary residence into a rental property. So we just rented out. We got renters in the basement and in the upstairs.
And then now, so 3 years later, you're graduated, and you've now got, how many properties do you have now?
So now we have three. We sold the Arizona house. We just looked at the numbers, and it made sense to sell off that property. The equity we had in it versus the cash flow, it just made sense to sell that last summer.
And if you wanted to, because you've been so smart, I don't know, you probably, did you sorry if I'm asking if it's too personal. Did you go get student loans to go to Harvard Law School?
Yeah, yeah. So I got student loans. The cash flow from the properties helped pay with our monthly expenses. Our rent out there is insane.
Yeah.
So we had to live on student loans. But what's really cool is over the past 3 years, those properties have appreciated in value. So not only have we had the benefit of the cash flow kind of helping out here and there with our monthly living expenses, which we still needed to get loans to cover the rest because it's crazy expensive on the East Coast. But those homes have appreciated such that if I wanted to today, I could turn around, sell all the properties and cover all of my law school debt.
Unbelievable. So a guy working in high school to save up enough for a down payment uses his real estate to fund his ability to go and serve a mission in another country. Then you use your real estate to help fund your living expenses while you go to law school. Then if you wanted to, you could sell the properties and pay off your student loans. That's incredible. What else? Now, tell me what traditional retirement account can allow for that to happen. I mean, that's unbelievable. So let me ask you this last question, then I'll let you off the hot seat.
Okay.
So you said if you wanted to, you could sell the properties and cover, you know, your student loan debt. What are you going to do instead and why?
Yeah, I'm not going to sell them right now. I have seen the value of these properties over the years, and I'll worry about making the student loan payments. I'll get those paid off. I've got a solid job. I'll be able to make those payments. Instead, I'm just going to keep growing the real estate portfolio over time as it makes sense. You know, I may sell a property to turn around, take that principal out and buy another. But yeah, I plan on growing that portfolio until it makes sense to retire on. All the while, I'll continue to use the cash flow to help with monthly expenses, you know, sock away money for repairs and different things, unexpecteds. But yeah, I just think at this point in my life, I don't need to sell off the properties and cancel all my debt because I've crunched the numbers and I'm making more return on investment on my properties than the interest payment that I'm paying on my student loans. So while it would be nice to be completely debt-free, the numbers just show that if I'm making if my return on investment on the properties is X and that's higher than my interest rate on my loans, well, then I'm going to keep the investment properties and I'll pay down the loans over time with my income.
That's so awesome, Dallin. You're such a great example. And if you're out there listening and you're thinking, gosh, I'm too young to be able to start investing in real estate, Dallin's a great example that you're not, right? And by the same token, if you're on the maybe older end of the spectrum, you've heard plenty of stories where real estate can be a far better substitute for your traditional retirement plan. Now, we're about to wrap the show, but I gotta say, I need to go get sunglasses. It's a little bright in here because your dad is in the room, Dallin, and he's beaming so brightly at the pride that he has over what you've been able to accomplish and how you've utilized so much of what he and your mom have taught you. And it's just cool. It's fun to be able to hear about your life from him. Just as a friend and somebody who's watched you grow, I'm really proud of you too. And it's awesome. Thanks for coming on and sharing your story, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Kevin. Appreciate it.
Well, that was awesome. You know, Steve, thanks for being such an awesome dad to teach your awesome son how to do awesome things in real estate.
Well, it's good when you have an awesome wife who, actually does all the work.
That's why he turned out so good. She raised him. It makes so much more sense.
Pretty much.
Steve, anything you want to, as we kind of wrap the episode, anything you want to share, anything you feel like we haven't covered that people need to hear about this idea of traditional retirement being a bit broken and how real estate can be the answer to some of the traditional retirement woes?
Yeah, look, you know, I'm a big believer in planning for retirement. I'm a big believer, obviously, in real estate and the power of it. And the fun thing about the stories that we were able to share today, Dallin's story, Ron's story, your parents' story, Mike's mother-in-law, is that real estate can benefit you at any stage in your life. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about is that we teach the up and coming generation about this concept, about this principle, because they listen to the media, they listen to the news, they listen to other people talking and telling them that there's no hope for them. That student loans are so expensive that you're going to go in debt, and it's going to take you until you're 65 just to pay off the loans.
Which
and
is
that,
why they should all just be forgiven.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, the up and coming generation, like, I feel like we're beaten down on them so hard, generally speaking,
yeah,
that we're sucking the life out of their future, their thoughts for the future. And that makes me want to just, you know, shout to the world, to shout to them that, you know, look, you know, there is this thing called real estate that in and of itself, if done right, can provide that hope for, you know, your financial future, that although you have to work and to sacrifice and to plan, if you do those things, even at a young age, you can get involved, and we have the ability to show young people how to do it. And to get into that first property, if it's a primary residence, you don't have to put 20 or 25% down. You can actually get in with very little down, in terms of 3% or less. And so there is hope, there is opportunity, and there is a way forward in such a big way for young people, middle-aged people, older people. There's so much hope. There's so much brightness in this world and so much opportunity that I feel like that we have to offer.
That's great, Steve. And I think that hope is so necessary. You know, there is a lot of bad news all the time, right? There's financial bad news. There's market bad news. There's pandemic bad news. You know, you've got political candidates that say, yes, all these student loans should be forgiven because it's just too hard for you to be able to pay them back. There has been, you know, we talked a little bit about the evolution of retirement. We have moved so far away from this idea of true personal accountability and self-reliance. And if we could get back to the farm, figuratively, not literally, but that initial idea that real estate could retire you, that if we could get back to the farm in our minds and realize that property ownership and owning real estate and then utilizing real estate in a really powerful way to bless you and your posterity and to create a legacy like it's doing for Ron Diviak, like it's done for you, like it's going to do for Dallin, like it's done for my parents. It is such a real opportunity, and we don't have to rely on the traditional, conventional mentality that's out there of this traditional retirement system that is broken. You know, I told you guys at the beginning of the episode that I wanted to give you guys a way to find out for yourselves if you're on track to retire. So here's what you need to do. If you could go to dfy-realestate.com, that's our website, at the top of every page on that site, there's an orange button. And that orange button will allow you to take a 60-second assessment. And that assessment will be able to tell you if you're on track to retire, if you're a little bit behind the eight ball, and then if and how real estate, based on where you're at today, the resources you have today, how long would it take for real estate to replace your income when we take all the factors into account? We have had thousands and thousands and thousands of people take this assessment. And I'm just going to tell you, 98% of folks that take this assessment are not on track when you look at the numbers to really retire. So are you in that 2%? And if you're not, could real estate be the answer? I'm here to tell you that I think it could, that income replacement through simple and conservative real estate is realistic. So we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Go take the assessment, dfy-realestate.com. Click on the orange button to take the assessment. See where you stand. Thank you to all our guests today. Next week, we've got another great episode for you where we're going to be talking a little bit about how real estate can benefit you, why real estate compared to other things is so powerful. We know real estate's powerful, so why? We're going to talk about the four primary ways that real estate beats almost everything else next week when you tune in. So for now, thank you so much for joining us, for me and for Steve and Dallin and Mike and everybody who was able to jump on today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to Replace Your Income with Steve and Kevin. If you're not subscribed already, be sure to head over to your favorite podcasting platform and do that now. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you could do us a quick favor and rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. This lets the platform know that we're doing something right and that people like the content. It'd be a huge help, and we would be super grateful. Also, be sure to head over to dfy-realestate.com and request your free income replacement estimate. We'll jump on a quick call and put a free and personalized income replacement estimate report together for you. Your report will show you a step-by-step plan of how you can begin replacing your income one property at a time, starting right away with the resources you already have. It only takes a few minutes, but could change the trajectory of your entire financial future. So until next time, just remember, income replacement for you and your family may only be one property away. See you next week.